Con, everybody here okay? Excellent. We're on. Well, good afternoon. I get to compete and keep you from your dinner and parties, so this is always a challenging slot. Hopefully we'll make it interactive, and for a lot of you, you haven't been exposed to extended events, so even though it's a 400 level class, I'm going to do kind of a broad brush so everybody will get something out of this. We can keep it interactive. If we get too far a track, then I'm going to ask that we go ahead and save that till afterwards so that people can get out and get to dinner and their parties and so on and so forth. But as long as your questions are fast, fun, and friendly, we'll answer them in line as long as it doesn't interrupt the flow. This is my contact information. It used to be in the past we'd ask you, please put your phones away, turn them off. Now we're saying, please have your phones out, tweet about us. So these are the tweet tags we'd like you to use. If, in fact, you can download these decks later, this is my contact information, the demos that I'm going to be doing today, plus the information about the free gift you're going to get, will be up on my blog site. So if you don't want to get this, come get a business card from me. My blog's on there. So welcome. So why are you here today? How many would answer A? I came around and met a lot of you, so a fair number of DBAs, that's excellent. Developers, B. Application developers, I met a couple of you, but you're also responsible, I guess, for tuning. Excellent, excellent. How many just thought the title sounded cool? We had one fellow over there, I remember. Okay, cool, cool. Any of the, all of the above? Jack of all trades, excellent. It gives me a good idea. I come from a very long background. I started Fortran on punch cards in 72, so I've been a developer. I'm a SQL Server guy. I can talk pretty much the whole stack. So this will be a good audience. We've got a nice mix. I got to meet a lot of you. Let's be interactive. So how many of you are using these tools today on a regular basis? SQL Server Trace. Excellent. Good, good. Profiler? About the same. SQL Diag. Little lower number. Most people don't know about it. It's a productization of a support tool called PSS Diag, and it ships with the product. Very cool tool. I suggest you check it out in books online. It allows you to do coordinated profiler traces and perfmon traces, blocker collection, all with one click of the button. So check out SQL Diag. RML utilities. See how many of our advanced users? We got a couple. Good. RML utilities are a very, very interesting set of tools that our CTS team put together. We'll talk about them. SQL Nexus is another aggregator. CodePlex. Okay, so the same people. Okay. So the big question is, Bob, why are they all on the screen? What do they have in common? Underlying, they all consume or produce SQL Server trace. They use a SQL Server, stored procedures, to generate trace files that you then consume with one of the other tools. But they've taken away your tools. How many knew that as of SQL Server 2012, SQL Trace has been deprecated? Small handful. Actually, that's more than I expected. So for those of you who don't know the Microsoft terminology, deprecated means we've announced it, that within two major versions, we will no longer support that particular feature. Everybody that's done performance tuning, troubleshooting, relies on SQL Server Trace. It's one of the key fundamental tools. So the reason you're here today is to learn how to use its replacement. So we've got new tools. Actually, they're not totally new. For those of you who have used SQL Server previous versions, 2008 introduced extended events. They weren't very well received. There were a few handful of people in the blogosphere that wrote about them because there was no UI, and they were really hard to understand. The Transact SQL was arcane. You had to build these big, long T-SQL statements to even get them going. And then you had to be an XML developer to shred the XML data that they returned. So that's the hard part. Now, in 2012, we've provided the UI, and we've got complete engine support. So in 2008 and 2008 R2, there was less than 20% of the surface of the database engine that was actually covered by extended events. Now, anything that you could capture with SQL Server Trace can now be captured using extended events in 2012. So complete coverage. And the tools, we give you a UI now, a browser, a way to emulate a lot of your other favorite tools. I think one of the favorite things you're going to see is how to emulate RML utilities natively without running any other tools. We'll show you that later on. Bad news, there is a learning curve, particularly before 2012. You had to learn all the internals, the sessions, the actions, and all that, and we'll cover all of those. And the good news is we're going to learn those tools today. Now, I tend to get on a roll, so if I'm going too fast, please don't hesitate to put your hand in the air and let me know that I need to slow down just a little bit. So, what are extended events? It's real-time data capture. Unlike SQL Profiler or SQL Trace, where you have to start a process to capture these events, this is real-time, ongoing, all the time. So for those of you that are .NET developers, if you think of like a debug trace listener, where if you don't have a listener hooked up, there's no impact, but the events are firing all the time, the SQL Server engine has been completely instrumented in that manner. So there's all these interesting places in the SQL Server code, and when we get there, we say this event's available. If somebody's consuming it, it will fire and it will go into some type of container, which we'll talk about in a minute. The very nice thing is there's no performance penalty. So for those of you, most of you have raised your hand saying SQL Server Profiler was your, or Trace was your tool of choice. The first thing you're always taught when you were taught that tool was, but just don't ever run it in production, right? Because if you captured enough information to make your troubleshooting effective, you were going to slow your server down and you're going to get your users very, very angry. It's based on the event tracing for Windows. So again, for our developers that understand that, what does that mean to me? Well, the fact that it's based on ETW means that you can connect an OS level ETW trace, load it up with a SQL Server ETW trace, and see the events as they occurred, OS and SQL Server, something you could not do easily in the past. You could always import perfmon data into Profiler and look at perfmon spikes as compared to the SQL Server statements or whatever, but now you can actually get a full fidelity, low level look at the OS and SQL Server in real time with no penalty cost. I'll keep saying that. Also, in the past, there was no programmability model other than Transact SQL. You wrote your Transact SQL, you did your sessions. We now have a full object model in place so that if you would like to automate event processing, event capture, reading XEL files, there's a full object model there in .NET that you can consume to build your own applications. And you'll be seeing one later today. So, as I wandered around the room today, most folks here have not had a lot of experience with extended events, so I'm going to go back just a little bit and kind of give you an overview of the different pieces that will make up the extended events architecture. The first idea is a package, and a package is nothing more than a predefined set of functionality. So a package is something you consume. It's provided by the SQL Server product group. So no user configurability other than to consume it. But the packages are what contain all these events and actions and types, which we'll get into. Events are analogous to your SQL Server event classes, SQL Server Profiler event classes. SQL statement completed. That's an event. Very, very similar concept. Some of the names have been changed in the extended events, but they're close enough where if you see one, you can pretty much say, oh, that's SQL underscore batch underscore completed. So you can make that association. Actions are things that you can do. So extended events doesn't just capture the data, it gives you the ability to do things when you capture that data. So let's say you have a specific error that's firing and you're having trouble trying to diagnose that error code. You can actually apply an action to that event that says, do a dump, do a mini dump. Give me the call stack. Give me the SQL statement that was executing when this error occurred. And remember, this is all you don't have to do anything. It's there, right? So you don't have to be running a profile or trace proactively in order to grab this information. The information is there for you to consume. So the difference between events and actions, okay? Let's get some heads nodding. Got some heads. Okay, I saw one or two. That's good. Filters and predicates are very similar to the predicates or the filtering that you would do with a transact SQL statement. Think where clause. And in fact, in transact SQL, the predicate is applied with a where clause. Or if you had SQL Profiler and you went down and did column-based filters and you said where duration is greater than 50, that's another concept. That's the same idea of filters. Fully supported within SQL extended events. Yes? Good question. For some of the sessions, absolutely, you have historical information. So many of them are like the DMVs. You have that historical information in the system health session until such time that you recycle SQL Server service. However, comma, specifically for the event session, we not only capture it in memory, we also write it to a file. So you do have historical even with server restart. That's a great question, and we'll show you that in a minute. So a session is very similar to having run a script to do the SQL Server trace system stored procedures or using Profiler to start a trace. Same concept. Here's what I want to collect. These are the events, the columns, the filters that I want to use. So I think we got that. Targets are kind of interesting. The two most commonly used are the ring buffer, which is just an area of memory that the buffer pool manager allocates. And we just reuse it. So it's a ring buffer, so when it gets full, we go around to the beginning and start writing again. There's where you can lose some of your historical information if you're not capturing it to a file. But we also allow you to have multiple targets. So you can target not only the memory buffer, which is very efficient and quick, and you just want to go in and do a quick look, you use the memory buffer, but if you need to do historical analysis over time, you save it to a file target. There's five or six, and I'll show you some of the targets that we have. One of the most interesting ones used to be called an asynchronous bucketizer. I don't know who came up with that name. They've renamed it now as a histogram. So now you can do pairs of events, begin-end transaction, things like that. How many latches were acquired, how many latches were released. So you can start doing analysis on pairs of events and bucketing or putting them into a histogram so you can do your analysis. And we'll show you an example of that. So that's really pretty much it. There's a couple other items, the maps, channels, and types, which I'll talk about here. So within the overarching container is the module, think SQLServer.exe or SQLDK.dll. It's a binary object that gets compiled. So within that module, you'll have one or more packages. And I'll show you the list of packages in a second, but things like the SQL OS. So if you want to look at OS wait stats or you want to look at memory allocations from memory clerks, all of that kind of stuff. Then we have the standard plumbing, if you will, and that's called package zero. And then there's also the SQL Server, which gives you things like latches and SQL statements starting and ending and those kinds of things. So those are the packages provide those. Each package defines which targets you're able to target to send your output to. The maps are just a way to take the definitions of old stuff and new stuff and map them together, kindly pretty well named. Channel is just a classification of the type of package. It's either administrative or operational or internal, those kinds of things. So you don't see that a lot. Any questions at this point? Because we're going to start picking up speed. So it's just a general overview, and again, any time along the way, stop me and ask questions. These are the packages in SQL Server 2012. I'll let you look at them for a second, but it gives you the kind of an idea of all the different areas of the database engine that are now covered. Anything pop out at you there? It's not a typo. We'll see who gets the first one, who's really reading the slide. Yes? It is. Thank you for noticing that. Yes, it is. So when you use these packages, the answer to the question that I didn't ask was, is there something that looks strange on this slide? And the answer is there are two entries for SQL Server. While each is identified by a GUID, you generally use them by name. So this gives us an automatic extensibility mechanism. The first SQL Server was 2008. Now all of the new extended events that came along with 2012, you still reference the SQL Server package, and you automatically get the sum total of those two packages. The next version of SQL Server, expect to see a third SQL Server here, and maybe a second SQL OS. So it's just the extensibility mechanisms. Some of them are private. There's a security audit. You can't use that one. That's for the internal security auditing and logins, those kinds of things. So that's what we have. There's not a whole lot, but there's a whole lot of power behind them. There are two built-in system sessions. System health, which is running all the time. It's on by default. You have to turn it off if you don't want it running. And if you do, then I'd have to question why you would do that. It's like I said, there is zero. We ran a profiler on a 96-core machine, capturing very, very heavy extended event workloads, and saw less than a microsecond for the event registration. The biggest issue is if you're writing to a file, is the disk I/O to write to the file. But the in-memory capture is virtually, there is no impact. It's negligible. So system health watches what's going on, what statements are going on, are schedulers getting slow? Do we have deadlocks? Anybody have to troubleshoot a deadlock issue? And couldn't reproduce it after they reported it? Not anymore. We're going to show you how to do that. Historical look back, capturing deadlocks, and being able to identify them, and even get the XML deadlock graph without doing anything. No trace flags, no profiler trace. Yes, sir? There's a setting that you can use. The system setting, I believe, is 15 seconds. Yes, so the basic one is predefined for you, the system health. When you create your own sessions, which we'll show you today, you can specify the maximum latency. By default, I believe it's 30 seconds. And again, it depends on the target, whether it's a file in memory, maybe, you know, I don't want to lose any events, but if it's going to disk, I'm okay to lose events if my I/O subsystem's running slow. The other one is for our new feature. Has everyone been to see the 12 cool things about SQL 2012? So you all got to see availability groups and the always-on features. There is also a system health monitor for that. In fact, it's built right in. All right, this is my obligatory zoom it. As you can see, there's a hyperlink there for the always-on health events. So if you're in monitoring your always-on and you need to find out what's going on, you just click that and it will open up the SQL Server extended event profiler, which that's where we're going to spend most of our time today. Yes? That's a good question. I don't believe so. I think it's memory buffer only, but the good thing is it's right there in Management Studio, and we'll look at it when we get to the demo in just a second. Okay? But thank you for that. I don't know. I never really thought about looking for that. I always consume, unless I'm doing something real lengthy operation over time, I want to do analysis over time, the ring buffer is really the way to go. Because you just go in, you click and view the live data, and you start partying on it. And so you don't have to really worry about finding the file, opening it up, and then doing all your work on it. So what does a system health session give us? Whoops, wrong button. Errors reported. So we're automatically capturing all the errors that would also go to the error log. So you now have another place to go get them, but you can capture additional information that does not go in the activity or error log. Okay. That one's not all that exciting, unless you've got a lot of errors. Non-yielding schedulers. Has anybody seen that message in the activity log? Scheduler 42 has been non-yielding for 60 seconds. We're killing it. If you've seen that, I'm sorry. We've ran into a lab with one of our ISVs. They had about 6.5 gig of ad hoc procedure cache, and we were running out of time trying to search the procedure cache to release the handle. And we saw those all over the place. So those are things that normally, by the code, it takes 60 seconds before we'll report that in the activity log. You can now dial that down to 1 second or 10 seconds. So you can proactively find these errors before they become so large that your system is starting to halt. Okay. Deadlocks, I mentioned that already. In the past, the scenario was, our users have reported they got this very strange message about being a deadlock victim. Or if your programmers were better, they just had a message and your application developers are telling you, we're getting a 1205 error. And then you had to either go enable the 1222 or the 1204 trace flag to start capturing that, or run a profiler trace, which of course adds more contention on the system, which is going to make the deadlocks maybe more likely to occur just because of locking. Now, that is part of the system health. We're constantly checking for deadlocks, and I'll show you how to do that in just a second. I have a simple demo. Yes, ma'am. No, the trace flag has not been deprecated. It's still supported, especially a lot of people have legacy scripting and maintenance jobs. So it's fully supported. It's just that you then have to, I don't know if you've ever tried to look at the textual representation of a deadlock in the activity log. It's not so fun. This gives you the actual XML deadlock graph, as just like if you'd used 1222 with the profiler to get the actual graph of the deadlock. So yes, it's still fully supported, but I don't, once you've gone through this, hopefully you'll never use it again. Is that rain? Wow, good thing we're in here. Internal and external wait info. You have a client application that is getting a result set, and they're going through it one row at a time. And if you were looking in the OS wait stats DMV, you'd see very high async network I/O, right? We're waiting for that, or an OLADB wait. Now you can go and pull all the information about the internal, so things like the spin lock stats, those kinds of things, as well as the external network I/O, async, OLADB, the external factors that influence your SQL Server. Again, these are all being captured all along, and they're just there. If you don't consume them, no performance hit at all. If you do consume them, it's just your time to look at them. But there's no performance hit on the engine. How many of you have worked with clustering in the past? SQL Server? Yeah, that's right. Great. So is alive? Ping. Looks alive? Select add at version. Not a very robust way to determine that your cluster and your SQL are doing well. So in SQL Server 2012, we introduced a new system stored procedure that the failover clustering service uses. It's called SP Server Diagnostics. And when you execute that, it brings back five categories of diagnostic information. How are the schedulers doing? How's memory doing? What's the disk doing? Things that your failover clustering can now make decisions on. And not getting into the always on, but you now have a flexible failover policy in clustering where you can say, I want it to be at least a 4 before I decide to fail over. And that's what the basis of this is. But this has rich diagnostic information about what's going on in your SQL Server right now. You can call it manually from a query window, but this information is also captured every minute on a clustered instance of SQL Server so that you can view it right inside the profiler. Again, we mentioned it earlier, the two common ones are persisting at the file or memory, and that's called a, call it out, target, right. Those are some of our targets. We'll look at the bucketizer and some of the other targets in a minute. All right, if you really, really enjoy, and I did talk to a couple developers, parsing XML, you can use this simple query just to grab the XML data as it's running right now from the system health session. It's pretty straightforward. Get a big chunk of XML. If you want to do anything with that, you're talking about nodes, cross-apply, all the fun XML shredding stuff that you've come to either know and love or know and hate. So it just depends what you enjoy. So what other things can we look at? The SQL Server package has a lot of rich information. I recommend Jonathan Cahaya's blog. Is anyone familiar with Jonathan? SQL Skills? He did a very nice series back in 2008 called 31 Days of Extended Events. So he gives you scripts because then there was no UI. But he has a very nice recent blog post that talks about page splits and how to use extended events to identify them. So page splits may or may not be bad. If the page split is occurring because you're appending data to the end of a clustered index, not so bad. If it's occurring because you're splitting a page in the middle and having to move data around, much, much worse. Using a couple sets of extended event scripts, you can very quickly identify which table, which file, and whether the splits are okay or not. Highly recommend it. Things like when autostats fires, am I really seeing an impact from the auto update statistics that we say is best practice to leave on? Do I need to maybe look at the auto statistics async option because I'm seeing a large number of autostats? Again, we don't have to do anything particular. It's there just for us to consume. Again, you can match begin-end transactions, distributed transactions, all those kinds of things. There's over 500 different items in the SQL server package that you can then consume. And you just got to get creative and dig into the books to understand what they all do, but there is basically every area of the engine is instrumented. The SQL OS is where we have things like the memory clerks, the low-level stuff. A lot of this, you can look like a snapshot real quick with the DMVs. So sysdm OS wait stats will give you a snapshot of what we're waiting on. Here we can look at the historical wait info. We can use the histogram target and start collecting those over time. So rather than just seeing a snapshot, we can see a running total of, let's say our page latch EX and tempdb, those waits as they're growing. And we're going to do that. That's why I mentioned that one. We're going to do that as a demo. And there's about 60 different items there. Spin locks, has anybody had to deal with spin locks? They're very, very lightweight latches, kind of like a mutex built into the engine. And you get into some cases where they just spin, and you have to wait a second or so to get that spin lock. So it's a critical code section. It's an area where our CTS, our support escalation engineers, spend a lot of time trying to find what these spin locks are, and as we go through service packs, remove them because they're little teeny miniature bottlenecks. All right, yay, he's going to stop talking and start showing us some fun stuff. So we're going to look at the extended events profiler. The terminology is a little confusing. It's a viewer or a profiler, however you want to look at it. And it's found in Management Studio. So let's take a quick flip over. So I'm going to provide this code up on my blog if you weren't here when we first got started, so you can go back and reproduce all these demos later and get a handle on it and play with how to use the profiler. So let's look. How is that? That's not good. This is a nice feature in 2012. You all familiar with this? You've got a little guy down here where you can actually zoom the text in your query window. So I'll use Zoom It as we get in if we need it. So here's that same query that I put up on the slide for you. And when we execute, what you'll see is we'll get two XML fragments. That's because System Health has two targets, the ring buffer and the file. The interesting thing is you can examine that snapshot that's going to the file at that point in time. But again, unless you really, really, really enjoy parsing XML, you're probably not going to use this output a whole lot. A lot of rich information there, but we're going to show you a better way. I'm not going to demonstrate all of these different queries, but this will give you some basic queries as you want to start doing your exploration of the object model for extended events. So just for example, let's take a look at the output of the targets. So the classic ETW, you've got the event file, the histogram, an event counter where it just counts how many times an event happens, which is kind of very, very low impact. The router, which allows you to send it off box, an asynchronous router. So you can see there's a lot of different places you can send this information. I'm not going to dwell on those. We're just going to go ahead and get using the tools. All right. So I've already got a table set up. And I'm going to simulate a deadlock. But first, let's take a look. There's my Object Explorer. And we'll pin that pin that there. So here is where you find your extended events. They're under the management node. Can everyone see that okay? Okay. They're under the management node, and under there you see a folder called sessions. Sessions, again, are equivalent to like a SQL Server profiler trace. This is where you say which events you're going to do, which columns you're going to capture, what events, what predicates, all that kind of stuff. So the two system ones are the always on and the system health. Okay. So I'm going to take this back just because it's hard to type when I have Zoom it on. We're going to take a look at live data. And this is what, let me clear that out. So this is the new profiler interface. It looks pretty plain right now because we're not doing a whole lot. But as I'm talking, you're going to start seeing events coming through, things like the system events. But I'm going to come over here and start a deadlock. Again, I'm not going to explain how I'm doing the deadlock. You can look at the code. It's more fun to focus on this. Just a second. And we come back over here. Oh, there's our dreaded 1205 error message. You've been chosen as a deadlock victim. So now we know we've had a deadlock. But we didn't run a profiler trace. We didn't set a trace flag. But we're going to go over to our live data, and you can now see we have an XML deadlock report. That's simple. No extra work. Hopefully, if nothing else, this is something that you'll take away and use on a regular basis. But Bob, you promised us we'd be able to see the XML deadlock graph. You can. It's right here. And again, absolutely the full fidelity XDL type file that you remember from SQL Profiler. So it's very, very easy to use. And all I did was I added the XML report column to my output. Very, very simple. Any questions about that? I'm going to kill these transactions so we don't tie everything up. He's already done. Okay, that's interesting. That's helpful, something I'll be doing, I imagine. So here's an example. Sometimes when you're running code, it appears to be very straightforward. You know, in this case, don't hesitate to tell me you can't read it. In this case, the developer decided, I want to avoid locks on the sales order detail table, right? Because I'm going to update a large number of rows. I don't want to lock that table. So I'll simply select that all into a temporary table, do the update there, and return my result set. It's a common design pattern. And maybe on your system, you don't see a lot of performance problems. But what this leads to is every item, every page and object in TempDB has what's called a page latch, where we have to latch that page in order to do the update. And that can be very, very contentious in a highly concurrent system. So we're going to show you an example of what this looks like, the impact it can have, how you can take it all the way down to deciding which statement within the stored procedure is causing you the problems. So let's show you how that looks. I'm going to jump out to a tool that's available on CodePlex. How many of you are CodePlex? Do you all go? Lots of free tools? Yeah, good stuff. Moved it around when I changed my resolution. This is just a tool that allows us to run a load against SQL Server. So my first proc 2. All right, that's all set up. And we're going to come over and look at our page latch. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to clear our performance counters. So again, those of you that have used the dynamic management views, and that's not what the talk's about, we capture data in memory since the last time SQL Server was restarted. So if I didn't do this step, we would have all the waits from my laptop running all day long. So we're going to just call this DBCC SQL perf in order to clear this, the wait stats. Wow. And then we're going to check to see what our highest waiting tasks are. Right now, it's just really a very stagnant, very tired system that's not doing a whole lot of work. Okay. Now we're going to run over and use my SQL load generator to run that stored procedure I showed you. Sorry. That's not good. Not what I expected. But let's look at our wait stats anyway. Ah, thank you. Thank you. I wish I had something to give you. Much better. Thank you. Whoever that was. Who am I thanking? Thanks so much. All right. So while this is running, you can see we haven't had a lot of executions. It's running. It's not that big a deal. It's about 100,000 rows, and we're just updating all the rows and taking a sum of a value. So this is an 8-proc box, 16 gig of memory on my laptop, so it should be running okay. Let's find out what's going wrong. So we got 5 iterations of that stored procedure. We'll go over here and look at our page latch waits now. And again, so you can see that, we're just, again, looking at the OS wait stats to see what we're waiting on. And you'll notice our page latch EX for those 5 executions of that stored procedure, we're over 1 million page latch waits. Now, that's my little system running 5 sets of loads. Think of your system with 100 or 200 or 1,000 concurrent users. So we have a problem. We see that this bubbles to the top of our OS wait stats. Let's figure out why and what we can do about it. So what we'll do is we will come over to our handy-dandy session. Now, I have a session defined here already that writes to the histogram and to the ring buffer and another sumit. So this is predefined. I have the transact SQL code in the download so that you can just go ahead and use this when you need it. So we will run this and view the live data. At this point, I'm going to run my load again so we have some fresh data coming in. Boom, there we go. Now what I'm capturing here is a latch suspend end. Technical term, it just means my page latch EX finished. How long did I have to wait for that? Well, that doesn't look like a whole lot of interesting information. Nice. So let's take a look here, though, at the histogram. Remember I said the histogram bucketizes like items and gives you counts? Let's take a look at that. And there we go, just like that, live data. It's showing us that we have, now it's close to 4 million of something. So how do I find out what that something is and how do I correct it? Well, we grab this frame handle. How many of you are familiar with the DMFs, the sysdm, SQL text, and SQL handle, where you can take the handles and get back the SQL text or the procedure? That's what we're going to use here. So I'll copy this value along with the offsets. And I have a handy-dandy little script here that you can use. Basically, it looks for the start and stop offsets. In this case, we have an offset 446, 5. Oh, good, it didn't change. And we'll grab the handle. Now, you got to remember, I didn't do anything special, no profiler, anything like that. But if I run this, thank you. Much better. I did paste it that time. All right. This is always the joys of doing a live demo. Let me grab another one. The thing is, this is a point in time. If you know, I don't know if you can see the white, yellowish band up at the top, but it's telling me it's not refreshed data. So that plan may have actually been out of the cache when I tried to do it, which is why I got no results. So that's why I'm trying another one. Looks like the same handle. All right, I will come back to that, and I'll be happy to stay late since we're the last session of the night and show you that actually working. I did get an exception somewhere along the line. I don't know if that's impacting it. I haven't seen that before. Let me try one more time just because it's very, we'll let this run and now come over here to the histogram and refresh. There we go. And it's still the same handle. Okay, I'm not going to bother with that. Let's move on. The idea is we can take that handle and then get the actual SQL text, which is that update statement, and it would show you exactly that statement within the stored procedure, and then we could remediate that code by there it is. By changing that to do an in-place update. So we're not creating the temporary table, which has to have all those pages locked in tempdv. So we're going to change this real quick here to the new procedure. We're going to clear our stats. Clear my stats. Load. Yep. So we'll clear those stats. And I'm running that procedure right now. Stop it and restart it. First of all, one thing you'll notice is that it's not going to take anywhere near as long for that procedure to run. It'll start clicking off. And I just deleted something there. There we go. The good thing is this is all canned for you to take home with you. I did not clean it. Pardon? Yes, it'll be up on my blog. Bob the Toolman Taylor up on MSDN. All right, it did not take my procedure, so it's a SQL load generator, must stop. Change my procedure. Apologize. There we go. Clear the perfs. Prove that they're clear. Now you can see there's no page latch. And with the new procedure, we'll run that one. I didn't get the thank you. Okay, so that's a note to me to make sure I put the use AdventureWorks. I thought I had that in all of the in all of my scripts. Try that again. That will be much better now. Thank you. I truly appreciate that. Clear these out. We should be okay because I'm going to clear them. And if that really took that procedure, you can see that the page latch EX are gone now. So even though you didn't see the statement, trust me, I'm from Microsoft, you can trust me. you'll see when you go through these demos. I'm not sure why I got that exception earlier. I have some other stuff running on here that's beta. So that may have caused it. I apologize for that. We did. There we go. Sorry. See, this is how I keep everybody active and involved. You help me. All right, so yeah, we got about 30 minutes, so I'm going to have to pick up the pace a little. Anyway, that'll allow you to grab that statement. You see that it's the update statement, and we go on. So let's go back now. All right. So what about your other tools? Several of you said you used RML utilities. They were developed by the SQL Server escalation engineers, Bob Ward, Bob Doerr, Keith Elmore. What it allowed you to do is take a SQL profiler trace, it would examine all your SQL statements, and it would tokenize them. So the statements that were only different by parameter values, it would lump them all together and say your average reads, your average writes, your average CPU, so you could quickly focus in on the top 10 CPUs that were performing poorly, for example. One of the normal uses along with some of the other ones. Those same engineers were the guys that worked with the product group to make sure the UI could do all this without having to write another utility that would consume this data. And again, the top 10 by CPU or duration are there out of the box, and I'm going to show you exactly how to do that. It's a matter of about 25 seconds, 30 seconds to actually configure that, which for those of you that have used RML before and have had to use read trace to process everything and then wait for everything to come back, I think you'll appreciate this. All right, we're going to close all windows. So here I've just got a bunch of silly little queries that are just going to do similar type things. Their only difference is that the parameter values are different, and it's just to show you exactly how to go through this step. And again, I have an RML session, which captures basically the SQL statement start and end, the offsets, the normal stuff that you would have in a SQL profiler trace. So let's watch some live data. And we're going to go run our queries. I know, we already got some. Master, this one should have, yeah, there's my use. There we go. Those would fail because they aren't in master, hopefully. Unless I did something else wrong. So we'll run those a couple times, get some results. You notice that while I was doing that, we had data coming in. Right? SQL batch completed, SQL statement completed, all the kinds of things that we used to have to create a profiler trace in order to capture is there now. But there's not a whole lot of information there. The nice thing is, we're going to stop this. We now can retrospectively look at that data and add analysis to it. So let's add some columns. Where's my columns? Choose columns. So we are going to add the duration. That's a good one. The query hash. Which is a hash of the query plan, and if two query plans have the same hash, it means they're the same except for the values of their parameters. So we'll use a query hash. And that's good for right now. Now, we've gotten those new values. We want to look at all the items that are similar to each other. So now we can select the query hash. And we can group. And we want to group by that query hash. So what happens is two queries that have the same plan. Let me stop my load generator. That would be good. You can see we've now grouped them by that query hash. I had several different categories or types of queries. And if we just expand a query hash, we can see here. Oh, the SQL text, let's add that. That would be a good thing to know. So we'll add a column. And the SQL statement would be very, very useful. So we'll add that. So now you can see that all of these were of the type where I'm selecting from OS weight stats. But because they only varied by that parameter differential, they're lumped together under the same query hash. Okay, so we're getting closer. Now what? Well, now what we're going to do is we're going to select the duration column, wait for this to process, because I've got a lot of stuff going on here. It will finish momentarily. Now we're going to aggregate. So those of you that have used RML or any of the built-in reportings for top, average, min, max, CPU, IO, reads, writes, like the Management Studio reports, we can now come in and say we want to aggregate by duration. Let's do average. And we'll sort that descending. So right there, we've just done our top 10 CPU consumers by average CPU, which is kind of cool. You're probably saying to yourself, that's a lot of work. Why do I have to do that every time? You don't. The nice thing is, there's a button here called Display Settings. And what you can do is you can save this as Bob's custom settings. Now when you want to apply this set of columns and analysis in the future, you pull up your ring buffer, you go over here to display columns and you say apply or open. And here I'll just send it back to the standard. And these setting files, yeah, I got a grouping going on. You can apply it. Here I've got a grouping. I'd have to remove that first to go back to that standard. So now you can start building libraries of these setting files to use in your enterprise. If you're always doing top 50 CPU consumers or average I/O, you start passing these setting files around to your developers and your DBAs. You can now take an XEL file or the ring buffer and apply these. So you now have that capability to produce very robust reporting very quickly. I haven't had a lot of questions in a while. Is everyone still awake? The lights are bright. Everyone out there? We're doing all right? Okay. So almost every event and column that were available in SQL Profiler are available in extended events. Some of them, like I said earlier, have changed their name to protect the innocent, so you have to do a little digging. Some of them, like filtering on text data, which you could do in Profiler, are not supported in the extended events because that or var binary, they're very large payloads, and it would quickly consume that 4 megabyte ring buffer, so we don't allow that. So how do we do it? We want to preserve the work that we've done with our SQL traces and our SQL profilers, right? How do we do that? We create a new session, and there is a wizard. So in the past, it was all transact SQL. Now there's a wizard that will step you through the process. I'm not going to go through that just because of time constraints, but if you want to talk to me afterwards, I'll be happy to show it to you. Now, look up every trace event and every column, convert it to an extended event and an action, and then add that to your session. Now, if there's any filters that existed in your profiler statement, figure out how to write those as predicates and add them, and then add the targets where you want to save your profiler trace. So that's all you have to do to preserve your existing investment in trace and profiler. Dead silence. So this is an example of a very, very, very simple session that just does a sampled selection of SQL profiler traces. And this is one that I hand-did using that process. Am I serious? Yes, I am serious. That is a lot of work, and if you try to do it manually. Okay, there is some guidance in books online about some stored procedures and transact SQL you can use to do that, but I'm happy to announce today we're going to give you a gift. And that gift is SQL Pi. It will actually be, yep, simple as pie. Don't you like the analogy? Profiler into events. So it'll be released on CodePlex after TechEd Europe. I have a couple beta testers that have given me some feedback. We want to add a few new features to it, but I'll demo it for you today. So let's just do this guy here. Here is a standard, if you will, SQL trace definition with all the set events and those kinds of things. I'm just going to run that, and that's fine. File already exists. And again, this is something you always had to deal with, right? The file already exists. You got to rename it. So that's down here, DBA_2. All right, that's fine. The trace is there. Good. What we're going to do is we're going to look at the sys.traces, and it did not create it, So we'll try one more time. So let me do trace set status. I apologize for this. So it's not there. Oh, yeah. Yep, procedure's already there. All right, here we go. There we go. So now we have a trace file running. So this tool will look at either the default trace, trace ID 1. It'll look at predefined traces, such as the RML trace that I just created, or if you have a profiler trace that's running that you want to convert, as long as it's defined and at least paused, it'll show up in sys.traces. So as long as it's available in sys.traces, we can process it. Too many windows. There we go. Come on. There we go. So, there we are. SQL Pi, right there. We're going to put in my server name. And this will take a second, so we'll be able to talk while it's running, and I'll show you why. So it finds the same two traces, no big surprise there. We're going to convert it, and in this case, I can choose to either keep it as a ring buffer in memory, write it to a file, or do both. In this case, we will do both, and we're going to call it TechEd Demo. My session, and we'll let that run. We'll go back over here to give you an idea exactly what's in there. Again, remember I said you'd have to investigate each event, each column, look them all up, and build the appropriate ones. So here's an idea of what's in that trace. There's about 3,800 items. So, I mean, this could be an almost full-time job, just looking them all up and building your sessions. So while this is running, we'll continue on, and it'll pop once we're done. So before I'll do the conclusion. They've taken away your old tools, but we don't care because the new tools are better anyway. So this is going to pop up in just a second and give us a notice, but you'll see very quickly exactly, so 3,800 events, and this will automate the transition from one to the other. So while we're waiting on that to occur, yep, there it is. So this is a case where, remember I said we can't filter on text data. It's something extended events won't allow you to do. Here we're just notifying the user we were not able to do that. So let's pop over to Management Studio. Refresh. And now you can see we have TechEd Demo. It has the event file, the ring buffer, and many, 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 many events, along with all the columns and the events that are defined. So it's automated that and allows you to preserve your existing technology. So start using them today. They're there. Even if you have SQL 2008, learn the Transact SQL and use them today. When you get to 2012, of course, we've got the wizards and much better tooling in place to help you with that. Any questions? Yes, in the back. Come up to the mic if you would, so that for the people that are going to be watching this at home will have the enjoyment of hearing your question. Of course, the AV folks left, so talk real loud, I guess.
How would we filter on text data? No, it's working.
Because text data is not directly convertible, it's not an item that's captured by extended events. What would you normally filter on in text data that you couldn't get, say, out of the statement, the Transact SQL statement?
Well, a good example would be if we were looking for a particular stored procedure, maybe we fixed it. We wanted to compare the before and after. Obviously, we could capture everything, and I think that's the answer, is if we capture everything, we can do the filtering later. Is that
Yeah, but you can't, so the text data itself can't be captured. But in this case, you're really not interested as much in the text data, the block, as the SQL statement.
Right.
So as long as you're capturing a SQL statement completed or SQL batch completed. I'm sorry. The question was, what if I wanted to filter on text data so I could see a before and after image of a stored procedure, for example? The answer is you would use the SQL statement completed or the SQL batch completed, RPC completed, depending upon how you're interacting with SQL Server, and be able to capture it in the statement column rather than the text data. And there's a small, small handful, it's less than 15, of the columns that were available in Profiler that just don't have any mapping. So in this case, text data almost, it's not a one-to-one mapping for SQL statement, but it's very close. Did that answer your question? So if you dig into books online for SQL Profiler events, it was a very broad brush. Every event had the potential of having the same column. They didn't have separate schemas for each event, right? So it was always just, well, most of these events don't have that column and there's no data in it. It wasn't very usable. Whereas the extended events, each event, and if you look at the event, the object columns, so sysdm xe underscore object columns, and give it the name of an event, it will tell you what columns it can capture. So those queries that I gave you, that I'll be giving you in the demo slides, will allow you to say, oh, so SQL statement, I can get started, I can get completed, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's the equivalent of what used to be SQL underscore statement, or it varied depending upon the event. But now what you have to do is you just look at the extended event and look at the object columns to see what the name is, or you use PI, and it converts it for you. Yeah. Other questions? Make sure you win something. Xbox, yes. No, unfortunately. Well, the impact is the same. The question was, what is the performance impact on SQL 2008? Is it the same as 2012? When it comes to the extended events that you're capturing, yes. But it's such a narrow subset of what was available and is now available in 2012, you would never be able to capture the information you could capture today. You would have had to supplement that with Profiler. So the impact there would have been greater. Yes. Yes. So SQL Profiler and SQL Trace were backwards compatible, and it will identify correctly because of that map that I showed you in the one thing. There's a map that says this event maps to this extended event, and that's part of the system metadata, and that's what PI consumes. So depending on what version of the trace, it'll look up that column and figure out what the correct extended event is. Yes, sir. The session, yes. It's SSMS specific. So if you were to open your system health and you've added certain columns, it will always open that way. If somebody else were to open it, it's going to be based on their profile. And they'd load it, but once they'd load it, Management Studio would remember it. It's just when you're doing like one-offs. Oh, I had this really strange one, and we're trying to do spin latch weights, and we don't normally do that. Here's the columns we really want to look at. Let's apply that. So to everyone, I don't think I answered, repeated the question. The question was, are the settings saved for everybody? They're saved per user in Management Studio. So if you open up the same system health, you'll get the same columns the next time. It's only when you want to change that display that you use the settings. Any other questions? Yes? So, yes, however, comma, the only thing you're going to see are the 2008 events. So you can use Management Studio to set up a session and monitor a 2008 database, but you're not going to see any of the new events. And really, for the benefit that you're going to gain and the events that were there, it's your mileage may vary. It's not going to be very useful. Most people in 2008 will just leverage it. There's SQL scripts. Like I said, Jonathan Cahas has great scripts out on his blog, out on SQL Skills. I highly recommend, if this has been an interesting subject, check out his X Events a Day. It's a great series. I go there all the time when I have to figure stuff out. Make sure you've captured this rather large tag with your smartphone. I thank everyone for being here. We are pretty close to... Oh, no, we still have time. Any other questions? Somebody want to see that demo actually run? Yes. So in Profiler, yeah, you're just like a prepared statement, and all you got is a bunch of question marks, right? Yes. There is no. There's really not an easier way to do it, but if you're capturing the SQL statements, you will have the actual text. So if it came through, like I showed you before, where the OS weight stats weight type equals CX packet, it will come through with the literal, provided you don't aggregate on the query hash. So if you group on the query hash, it's going to do that aggregation and say, yeah, this is just kind of a template of SQL, as opposed to the other, but you should see those queries there, because the query processor and optimizer has to see those values in order to create the query plan. Oh yeah, that was a nightmare. And Itzik Ben-Gon had that script in T-SQL programming that would help you do all that same stuff. RML utilities was created specifically by the escalation engineers to do that, and now it's there out of the box. And you can thank Bob Ward and Keith Elmore for that.
Yeah, I used to run V80 trays in RML.
Sure.
And typically, if I'm the top 10 queries or store procedures, the next step was to use show execution block to find like a table scan or this scan.
Absolutely.
Is that built in there?
Yes. Yes. So that's one of the things. When you define your session, you say, I would like to capture the query execution plan. And just like we saw the XML deadlock graph, if you click on it, you'll see the execution plan. That's exactly the same. Yes. Yes, sir. No, that is the desktop is, yes, Giant's Causeway in Northern Ireland. Yes. Good question. Yes, sir. Unfortunately, no. So the question was, okay, you gave me a central management server for doing other things. You gave me the management data warehouse where I could collect this kind of information from multiple servers and aggregate it. There is no facility today out of the box to do that for extended events. However, some really clever people that could program against the object model could certainly create a data collector that would do an extended events collection, snapshot, and then send it off box, just like DMV stats used to do up on CodePlex. So it's possible, it's just not there as a feature out of the box. Now, my utility is just designed to take a trace definition and turn it into a session definition. But the object model is fully there. That's what I used in C# to create sessions, read sessions, and do all that. So all of that, you could use that same Transact SQL code or C# code, maybe as a SQL CLR stored procedure, as a data collector for management data warehouse, and then ship that off box. So it's certainly a great idea. Sounds like a great idea for a CodePlex project. Maybe you should start one, and we can get some folks to collaborate on it.
Okay.
All right? Other questions? Yes? How do you search for an argument for the statement? Good question. Yes? No worries. It's called filters. So you can set a time filter. You can set a value filter. You can say this field, statement. Contains Bob. It will now actively, there's no data there at that root level, so let me set my time filter, and now, boom. So we've just filtered it looking for statements that include Bob. So it's that simple. That's what I'm saying. Some of the things that we used to have to do that were so convoluted to get the results are right there out of the box. It's just incredible what they've done. You're welcome. Anybody else? Nobody asked about how I spell my name. That's usually the first question I get. Yes, sir. Okay. So the question was, are there any white papers on using extended events for performance tuning? Are you familiar with Tom Davidson's weights and cues methodology white paper? Using the OS weight stats and the different cues, it's still applicable. You can still use that with the DMVs and supplement it with this when you get to a certain type of status. Like I did with the PageLatch EX, I saw, oh, the weight stats are through the roof. Now I set up an extended event to capture that latch suspended ended, to capture that and be able to drill in to more detail. So it's really a fine-grained add-on to the weights and cues methodology. And that white paper has been out since SQL 2000, and it's still valid. Highly recommend that you look that one up. It's on MSDN. I think it's Tom Davidson. He was also an author of a book on performance tuning, but it's weights and cues, Q-U-E-U-E, weights and cues, performance tuning. Great, great reference. I still refer back to it. Anybody else? What's his name? I have not. Yeah, one of the things that I didn't spend a lot of time on is if you have XEL files from the operating system, you can combine them and load them up in the profiler so that you see the OS events and the SQL events together. So you just keep adding XEL files. And for those of you who haven't used it, I'm sorry I didn't say this while everyone was here. How many of you have ever fought the battle with the SAN engineers about the latency? Are you all familiar with the store port? The store port tracing? Store port. So if you're using the store port driver, multipath, there's two knowledge base articles, one for SQL, one for Windows Server 2008, one for Windows Server 2008 R2. It now gives you the ability to do XEL files after the request leaves and goes to the fabric. It tells you the true duration of the request before the SAN responds. And that's another XEL. It's an ETW, but that's a huge one. So now you can interleave that along with your SQL. Here's where I issued the request. I'm saying the latency is 96 milliseconds. You're saying the lights are all green, everything's good. And here it is, it's 125 milliseconds before you send the ACK back. So ETW is permeating, just like PowerShell, ETW is being permeated through all of our products and works with PowerShell and with all of our tools, and they're all supposed to interoperate. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
Currently, we set up like our traces to go into a table.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. No, I just glossed over it. You can certainly write it to a table as well.
Okay.
Yep, we haven't really taken anything away from you. That's why I said, you know, your old tools are gone, but these are better anyway. We give you all the same functionality plus some. We'll go to this gentleman first, and then I'll get you, sir. Yes. You need to get, so it's the XEL has been captured to a table, and you want to export that? Yeah, you just do a select star from the table and off you go. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Perfect. The only thing I've done longer than software development, which I started in 72, is magic. And it grew out of being a magician and a dumb joke about 30 some odd years ago. Somebody's name was Bob. I said, well, my name's Bob too, and I spell it backwards. And he came up to me 2 years later and said, oh, you're the guy that spells your name backwards. So 30 plus years, that's how I've been spelling it. So if you see that name, you know it's me.
Anyway.
All righty. Just like that, I've got 21 seconds. Oh, I'm over 21 seconds. Whoop. I'll be happy to stay and talk with anybody, but we're done here.
Okay.
Thanks so much.